Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince, they exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Should I start things off?
Please.
It doesn't matter if you want me to start things off or not.
Wow.
What?
Coming with a bass like that and it's Survivor Series weekend as well. I like the league, bro. Very clever.
Wow. Okay.
If you smell what the rice is.
It's chicken.
There you go.
Welcome to And That's Why We're Messed Up, the podcast talking about Girdery?
What is girdery?
It's Neek.
One second. What? Girdery.
I was supposed to say.
Oh, it's nursery.
Wow. Okay, that's not what I meant.
Where is that? Let's give me a number. It's giving me a number for a kindergarten nursery. So there you go. That's what good.
Welcome to the podcast, and that's why we messed up. The podcast talking about geekism, nerdery, and all else in between.
AKA Gurdery.
all else in between from a South London postcode. I am your host, Shannis. Welcome to the show. Thank you for tuning in. And I just want to take this moment before we start the show to thank the Red Dwarf subreddit for showing us some really good love for the last episode. Thank you. Thank you very much. Your comments were appreciated and thank you for the love and support. Next to me, I've got my brother, the instant classic.
That's
calling
me
up Girdery's right now. And
head of the table, trouble chief, that's me.
That's it. And on the other side of me, I've got big man, a.k.a. Booger Resh. Okay. Once again, for those of you who don't know, what tends to happen on our show is that we talk about things from wrestling to film to comics to whatever the hell we feel like. We're trying to just start a community up in here. We're also trying to introduce some stuff you might not know and discuss some current stuff. And this week I'm completely blind, so I have no idea what we're going to be talking about. Big man.
Hello.
What's the topic this week?
Today I want to indulge the viewers with one of our early episodes where we spoke about a very black day in the history of the WWE. I think it was called, was it Black Thursday or Friday it was, where 11 members of the roster were fired for no reason at all?
No, it was budget cuts. Oh, budget cuts.
Budget cuts, my mistake.
Yeah, because obviously
this happened, when was this, 2020? When was this around?
This was 2020.
Yeah.
Yeah, just all 2020, right? Pretty much from when the pandemic kind of kicked off, they were just like, and cut.
Basically.
Yeah.
All of y'all.
Bye. Yeah, basically. But this time I thought, you know what, maybe we've gotten over there. Because as you know, I was affected pretty badly with the departure of Bray Wyatt.
Yes.
If I'm not mistaken, I think I used the term I'm locking it off with you.
I believe so.
Yes. And to be fair, you know, since then, I've gotten over that. I see Bray's doing his thing, his acting career. And I thought, you know what? I'm cool. I'm at peace. Maybe we can just continue. And then, 1 year later, near enough to the day, here we are again. The Firing Squad Part 2.
I think... So this, no.
No, I said for this episode, I'd like to explain who got ditched and, more importantly, why.
Okay.
So this, I'm sure Mr. Classic himself will have a few things to say also.
Let me write some things down.
Oh, I mean, go on, sorry.
No, the fact of the matter is, like, from what's happened since then, like just this year alone, they've released enough wrestlers to actually make their own wrestling organization.
Now, here's the question.
For real?
Yeah, right. This could be an interesting one. Just guess a random number.
I know the number already. So I can't guess. Chantel, you go for it.
Okay. 25.
Okay, brother, you can go ahead with
80, over 80.
Oh my god, what?
Yeah.
Literally over 80 wrestlers have been released just this year.
How many released last year?
By the courtesy of a text saying, thank you for your service, but no longer required in future endeavours.
I believe the episode we called that your kit's in the Uber. So if you want to check that out, that's what we talked about it then. But yeah, because quite literally people got texts saying that they were no longer required. So how many were let go in the first one? Do you remember?
It was around about at least 15 to 20, I would say.
I'll say about 20 something, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah.
That's probably what I was thinking.
Yeah.
Around the same. I did not realize it was 80.
Okay. Well, I say, when I say 80, I mean like literally not just this year, that last year as well. So altogether.
All right. Okay. That's ridiculous.
Because there's budget cuts. It's not like they're the most successful company in the world, and they've been making all kinds of gains with revenue in general. But it's budget cuts. Budget cuts.
Yeah. Remember budget cuts. Here comes the money. Budget cuts. Yeah.
Wow.
Can't afford it. No chance in hell. But yeah, they can't afford it. It's budget cuts. Yeah.
So at this rate, what? The end wrestlers are Roman Reigns and Senior Benjamin? Where about Senior Benjamin?
No, Tribal Chief, head of the table.
Head of the table.
Acknowledge me. Yes. But there's no one about that. But what I need to break down is some of the shocking names that's appeared in this list. And I always seem to find this out, yeah, after I've had a decent day. I'm relaxed, I'm a nice bottle of wine. And I get a notification appears on my...
What, Thunderbird or Only 2020? I'm just asking, because it's questions that people want to know.
Look.
What?
I was just a nice bottle of red, yeah? Nothing too fancy.
Oh, Thunderbird red.
I don't know. Look, was there Thunderbird red? Because red, I don't remember that. I remember Can I? Yeah, and for those who don't know what Can I is, don't bother research it. Don't waste it. Don't waste
it. Sorry, you're a fine gentleman, so you're sitting there... sipping on yuck or sipping on your lovely red, yeah, discussing and perusing. Please go ahead, paint a picture. Look, I love it.
No, I'll paint the picture. It was the first day, long after that work, coming, setting the mood, add some crap on the TV, weren't paying any attention. Should have a nice bottle of red. I can't remember what it was, but I remember it definitely was wine. And a notification appears, the following superstars have been released. So now I open this message. I'm just going to hit off nail off the park and name the first name. Keith Lee.
Yeah, y'all talked about this and I was not... I wasn't impressed with that at all.
My man has all the potential in the world to be one of the greatest wrestlers in that company. Right, he's one of the greatest wrestlers anyway. He's so talented, charismatic. The man is it's over 300 pounds and moves like a lightweight. Like, it's and yet they didn't know how to use him. Confusing, isn't it? Very confusing, but considering
that. It is. I mean, it's not like the man had a near-death experience and was injured for the best part of nearly a year and then built himself back to reappear and then given the name Bearcat to then be dismissed 2 weeks later.
Oh, sorry. I have issues with the Bearcat thing.
To be fair, it was in homage to another wrestler. To be fair, it was actually, so it had meaning, that name, so it made sense. But it's it's amazing how he was used on NXT. Like he was used perfectly on NXT. He was a monster face. He could move. He could play the crowd. He had mic skills. He was the first double champion on NXT, and it was done so well. He left on a strong point. So it was like, okay, cool. We've built up this character. Now let's use that momentum he's got on NXT and push it to WWE. No, let's not do that. We can't have nice things. Let's not do that. That's basically what they did with Keith Lee. It was literally like he was given, there was potential in that push. Because like if you saw in that documentary I showed you this, basically.
Yeah, I remember watching that.
Yeah, it was put against one of the big names in the WWE, which is Randy Orton, which is a big deal. He actually got a win over him, which is always a big deal. And that was the momentum someone like that needed. And then they just ruined it for legitimately no reason, because Vince doesn't like good things.
Of course not. And the thing is, the sad thing is, everyone who's a fan of NXT, or should I say the Triple H and Shawn Michaels NXT, knew what Keith Lee was about, and they were happy to see him go from something small to something big, to basically see him upgrade himself, you know. And everyone, as soon as his music played Basking Wild Glory, everyone lost it. And that's a telltale sign, because we went to main event, he didn't have that. And then it just got worse, and losing to unknown people, putting people over. And then, no thank you, Keith. Thank you for your personal favours and your tribulations, but here's your P45, and you can't work for 90 days. Okay. How do we feel about that? Yeah, we're annoyed. We are extremely annoyed, and that's a nice way to say it. WWE right now are going down a very dangerous slippery slope, and it's going to get worse. And it will get worse, but that's just the first. Keith Lee, no doubt, from all of us here, you will definitely be back, hopefully with AEW, but you will be back sooner rather than later. And Vince, we've got two words for you. And I can't really say that on here because
okay. Might be... Suck it!
But remove. Second name. His fiancée, Mia Yim. Well, I thought that was a liberty as well. Did you know about that, sis?
I did hear. And also, I just want to say quickly, for people outside the UK, a P45 is the equivalent of a pink slip, just to let y'all know. But, because people aren't like what P45 is, just saying. But true. Yes, I did hear about the fiancée. I just thought, that's cold-blooded.
They use her inconsistently bad. Well, inconsistently and just badly. Like, it was just literally, like, why call them? It's like, it's just, it makes no, like, nothing makes sense. There's no logic to their actions. It's just, I don't know what goes into running a company, let alone wrestling company. But I know good storytelling. I know you build, like, you bring these characters, you introduce them to the world, and then you build upon them. I mean, they've been doing it for years, and it worked very well. But I don't know what's happened between the Attitude Era to the point that we are now, that they can't get their shit together. I mean, it's just so inconsistent with most of their wrestlers and their stories.
Everything about it is so inconsistent right now. I mean, not to go off track, this is why I have to give a massive props to AEW about storytelling.
Oh, big time.
They did a story of basically a character called Cowboy.
I knew Hammer. It. Yeah.
This is a 5-year story that kicked off even before AEW was even created.
Wow.
He was a member of the Bullet Club in New Japan. He got booted from that, went on a loner story, became a journeyman, became friends with former members. They booted him out because he didn't fit in, went on it alone. Every time he got close to the title, he would lose. He finally, after 5 years, got the title last weekend. And you know what? I ain't gonna lie, mate. I nearly burst into tears because it was done so well. Everyone was rooting for him. I ain't seen WWE do anything like that since Borderline Kofi Mania. And look how long that was.
And to be fair, that was just by accident. Let's be honest.
Yeah, exactly. Wasn't supposed to be him.
Like, I think
that. For Ali. And look how that happened.
I would say that the last time I can remember a good story moment in WWE that was legit and actually made you care was the mega powers collapsing and colliding. When I'm talking about the mega powers, we're talking about when Macho Man and Hulkamania became a tag team, and then Elizabeth got involved, and it became Macho Man's jealousy about that, because he thought Macho Hulk was going towards his wife, so the mega powers fell apart, and then it became a big thing. That was good long term storytelling in my eyes, and it's like. Because like you and then like you invest and then you became invested in the journey of Macho Man and is he going to get back with Elizabeth because when he became the Macho King, it all fell apart, and he had Sherry in his corner, then he lost the title and was forced to retire, then Sherry started beating him up, then Macho Man, and then Elizabeth came out of the crowd, beat up Sherry.
Oh, Sherry, then, I remember that. Oh my god.
That was storytelling at its best, because you were just so invested. All you wanted them was to make up and love each other, and it did. It had a really satisfying end. Okay, I say satisfying end, didn't really have a satisfying ending, but again, that was still a great example of WWE doing some long-term storytelling.
Mm.
Yeah, but fully agree with you there. And another name to add to the hit list. Now, this name, I shouldn't laugh, right? Because it's not fair that anyone should lose their job twice. Yeah? But this person, to be perfectly honest, I don't know why she was rehired in the first place. I mean,
wow.
She can't wrestle. And she's not bad looking, I'll give her that.
She's very pretty. But
she is. But a wrestler, a manager, you're not. I'm talking about one Eva Marie. Now, I can't even explain how I felt about this, because when I saw her name on the list, I thought, all right, just keep on scrolling. Because she didn't do anything in the first place to make her come back. I was baffled why WWE brought her back.
It was very confusing. It made no sense, because, again, she has no wrestling talent, and, like, her acting skills are... She can do something, I guess. I don't know.
Wow.
But, like, what kind of peed me off about it is that they paired her up with a British wrestler called Viper Nivens, who's a big lady as well. She's actually a legitimately good wrestler.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, again, she's another big person who can move like a featherweight when she needs to. And she's very good looking as well. And she has natural talent, natural mic talent. But they're just... They're fucking her up, too. I'm surprised she wasn't released because, like, one...
Oh, she's probably be next.
Yeah. She's probably going to be next. She's probably going to be next, too. But, like, that's my... Because, like, they changed the name from, like... Because it was, like... Because her real name... Well, on the indies, she was Piper Niven.
Mm-hmm.
And when she went to WWE, she became Viper Niven or Viper something, and now she's in the main. She's in the main roster. They call her Dewdrop.
What? Dewdrop. Okay.
No, yeah. Dewdrop.
Dude drop. Yeah.
Hmm. So okay, I got nothing. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. There's something. There's something to get. It's just some bullshit. That's what it is. And it just made. It's, again, it just didn't make any fudging sense. It's just. I've got nothing. I'm done.
Yeah, the next one on the list. Now, this one baffled me because this is a husband and wife couple. Now, the wife I'm a fan of. She looks the part. She can definitely wrestle. The husband is just a wet blanket. No offense here. I mean, he ain't wrestled a decent match here since Lucio Underground. And look how long that was. I'm talking about the team of Frankie Monet and John Morrison.
Well, to be fair, Morrison had some decent matches. Like, he had a really good match with Ricochet a few days back. But like,
on
he,
what? The main event, because
that was Raw. Or was it SmackDown?
It was nearly in a month. So,
like, because things, it's like, again, it's just wasted. It's wasted opportunities.
Really, and to the point is with. Let me put it this way. Not to go sidetracked, then after tonight's Survivor Series, and to be perfectly honest, is already, to me, it's going to be one of the worst Survivor Series. There's been no hype around this. It's just, here it is. Here's the pay-per-view. Couple of random matches. Take it what you will. Now, not many people know this. I don't know if you know this, bro. This is actually the last WWE pay-per-view event of the year.
Wait, what?
Right.
Shit, it is, isn't it?
Yeah, right, because hear this for foolishness. Next month, usually every year, December, it's usually the TLC, tables, ladders, and chairs. Yeah. But they've scrapped that now. Yeah. The next pay-per-view event, and I love the date of this, the marketing is so brilliant, is on New Year's Day. And it's called Year One.
Okay.
Yeah.
I have a question.
Yes, by all means.
So, in the opinion of both of you, mm-hmm. you have extensive wrestling knowledge. You've seen a lot of really good writers come and go. So you both are invested. You've been invested for the good part of 2 decades, if I'm honest, that's between right. y'all.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think the end game is or could look like in terms of these decisions? Do you think they're doing the whole wipe and start again? Do you think there's going to be talent they can do? Or do you think it's kind of like shifting the stock to bin it? What do you think?
Well, when it comes to what... Okay, so when it comes to what they're doing in NXT, because it's not Triple H is not doing NXT anymore. Basically, Vince is running the show. Because this is what's happened. So when AEW started, they decided to bring NXT from the network and bring it to major TV so it will take on NXT, it will take on AEW, like the old school WCW versus WWE back in the day, like the Monday Night Wars. But in this time, it's going to be a Wednesday. Right. So the aim was... Oh, wait, what's Big Man? Oh, he's back. So the aim was to basically have NXT beat AEW. That was the aim. That was Triple H's mission, basically. But it didn't do that. NXT was still very good and it still was very entertaining, but it couldn't compete with AEW because AEW was doing things right.
Yes, okay.
And because they moved NXT to what, Tuesday nights now, whatever it is?
Yes, it is.
Like, that class as a failure in Vince's eyes. So basically, they took Triple H off of NXT, even though he'd been making it successful the longest time ever. And now it's been changed to NXT 2.0, whatever it's called now. And now it's very sports entertainment. Like, the appeal of NXT is that it wasn't like WWE. It concentrated on the wrestling and the story so much that you were truly invested. And I've only seen highlights of what NXT 2.0 looks like now, and it just looks like a hot mess.
To be perfectly honest, I concur with everything you say, because a Tuesday night NXT was your standard. You knew what you were going to get underneath the Triple H and HBK reign. You had the Undisputed Era, you had Tommaso Ciampa, you had Johnny Gargano. You had the next best thing coming up, and it was good because all the storylines were consistent. It was a bit rough around the edges, but you would expect that because it was a development starting out trial to move up. Now this looks like some MTB bullcrap. Yeah, there's no consistency. I'm seeing, is it Scott Steiner? No, Rick. Is one of the Steiners' nephews, is it? That's in it now?
Something like that, yeah.
And like I said, I haven't watched it in a while, but I've seen that they've even quoted the infamous promo that Steiner did about mathematics that he got horribly wrong. They reintroduced it last week. And it's the level. The consistency is terrible. The writing is bad. The only good thing about NXT right now is...
Wow.
There it is. There's your answer, guys. The silence was golden. There was silence. Jesus Christ.
Michael looking around like, I'm
going
wet.
Like, when you're trying to find a positive about something, you can't find it. Yeah, that positive is missing, mate.
It speaks volumes, isn't it? For real.
I have questions, because another thing I'd like to know, what's happened to Samoa Joe? He hasn't been released of his contract again.
He got injured.
From what?
I thought you had a pub down the road.
It's a Simone Pub.
Thank you, bruv, for not leaving me hanging. Those who don't know what I'm talking about, see Lock, Stock and Two Smoking Barrels.
He got, like, after that match he had with Karrion Kross, he got injured last time I heard, so he had to relinquish the belt. So if he isn't released, he hasn't been released yet, he probably will be released soon.
And that brilliantly links me to Karrion Kross and his fiance.
Scarlet Bordeaux, is that right?
Bordeaux. That pissed me off. The man was running roughshod on NXT, TikTok. Everyone was feeling the Kross vibe. I was invested in NXT. And to be fair, I think that was the beginning of the end for me, actually, of the whole NXT thing. When they moved him to the main event, I thought, yeah, man, he's going to run shit on here. And he loses his first match to Jeff Hardy.
While he was still champion.
Yep, and then wore that gimp-looking outfit on Raw.
Yeah, it was very, like, Red Demolition back in the day. Demolition back in the day. It was very weird. Very.
This hurt me, and then all of a sudden, this man's getting beaten by... that's it. He also lost to Keith Lee as well.
Like, that would have made more sense because if you kind of... Because, like, obviously, Keith Lee, he lost to him in his last match on NXT, which makes sense. But if you could have some long-term storytelling in this. So, like, if I was booking it, this is how I would have booked it. I would have booked it that he comes in, takes on Jeff Hardy, boom, Jeff Hardy gets wrecked. It's okay for Jeff Hardy to get wrecked because, one, he's a legend, so it's not going to really hurt his stock. But he's beating a legend. It's a big deal. And he just goes on a tear and beating people. Then he reaches Keith Lee, and it comes that thing that Keith Lee can't beat him because, you know, you could have built it that him and Keith Lee have a match. He beats Keith Lee a few times, and it comes that thing where Keith Lee can't beat him. And that you could have played on that right there. There's a story right there. I've already given you a story. Look at that. That was for free. Boom. I don't work for WWE, but I can tell you what decent storytelling is. Come on now. Simple.
That's simple, but that's what WWE don't do. They'll do the most random things and think people don't... Listen, I mean, prime example, there's a match tonight on Survivor Series where it's Team Raw, and when it was built, this match, Team Raw, every member of that team has had a title, and the members of Team Raw are Kevin Owens, Finn Balor, Bobby Lashley, what's his name, Seth?
Seth Rollins.
Yeah, and Austin Theory.
Yeah, because wasn't the thing that Dominic couldn't go on a team because he hadn't won a title or hadn't been a champion or something like that. There was some stupid rule that you couldn't be on that team because you weren't a champion. But Austin Theory is not a champion. He's like 5 years old. Why is he on the team?
Right there, as soon as I heard that, I went, all right, I'm out, because that makes no sense. So, sis, if this doesn't make sense to you, it's like you killing it on Halo and then me turning up and say, right, move out of the way, yeah, I got this, yeah, because I know you'll take that control and then slap the hell out of me. Yeah?
Yes. Yes, especially on Halo.
It just doesn't make sense. It's not needed. So when the creative are doing a Mazzoline, aka madness like this, why should I spend... lose 3 hours of sleep, which I ain't going to get back invested in this. No, I'm not having it. And I'm sure a lot of people are like this tonight. They're like, am I really bothered to watch Survivor Series? No, I've got better things to do than sleep. But anyway, we move. Another no.
I've got a quick question though. Quickly though. Mm-hmm. I was going to say, is this a case of the older fans don't get it, but the younger new ones... I'm playing devil's advocate.
Because to be fair, let's look at this picture. Me and Big Man are technically older fans.
Mm-hmm.
We've technically been in and out of wrestling since.
Selling a little or a lot. Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Since the early 80s, like since the 80s onwards.
Yeah.
So we are the fans. We've grown with the sport. We've evolved with the sport. And something is not evolving with us. And that's not an us problem, because the wrestlers have evolved. Well, some of the wrestlers have evolved. We as fans have evolved, but...
No, you're right. It's interesting. It's like, for example, as you know, we all game here, and you know, but ain't no one gonna whip out a Sega Genesis or Atari Lynx to play.
And that's exactly
right now, because there's so much out there now, and things should be evolving and changing. And I was just wondering, because you know, sometimes it can be that thing where it's like you know, when sometimes certain things just aren't for you anymore. Do you get what I mean? Like some things are like, I'm only focusing on a newer. And I'm actually cool with that. I'm cool. It's the whole thing of them saying that, you know, sometimes you have to know to make way. It reminds me of the argument back in Clerks 2, you know, when like we had the whole Lord of the Rings versus you know, Star Wars. It's like, yeah, some stuff isn't just for you. Like, it's okay to let the new generations come up and learn, and that some stuff is specifically trying to capture their imagination. That's all good.
Yeah, and that's the thing.
I just wonder if it's that perspective, but from what you're, because it doesn't make no. That may not goddamn sense. Like, I get it. No. If there's like a bunch of newbies coming in with a whole whole TV show thing line really lined up, and they're just gonna clear the decks of the old to bring in the new to capture a new audience. That doesn't even seem to be happening.
No, a prime example of that, and yet again, you and brother are on a roll today, because you're linking things brilliantly to what I'm about to say. We're talking about, for example, a new group hot off the press come to make a name. NXT had that. They had this quality group that was put together. Cleverly, in a matter of months, they were called a Hit Row. Now, Hit Row was basically the equivalent of Def Jam. So you had four wrestlers, one female member, three other guys put together. They were making waves. They were having titles. They actually had a few titles on NXT.
One
cruiserweight title, I believe, was Swerve Scott. He was the leader.
Yeah.
So they moved him to SmackDown. We literally ran about 3 weeks ago. No word of a lie. So 3 weeks ago, I saw them turn up on SmackDown, all the microphones dropping bars, Hit Row, and the fans were taking to it. Hit Row got released this week. And the reason why they got released is because, as Vince said, the fans didn't get it. No. You didn't use them, Vince. I'm tired of this minimal management crap. You're not with it anymore. Let it go.
It's like... It's funny, because I remember when there's a wrestler who was on WWE's payroll called Rusev. He's now in AEW going by the name Miro. Now, Rusev, when he first came into WWE, he was your typical foreign heel, but he was built like a monster, so it worked out really well. But then, as usual, they put him against John Cena, and the ball kind of starts to fall about this at this point. Now, Vince always goes on about this thing that the wrestlers need to grab that brass ring and make their own kind of path, like to relate with the fans their way kind of thing. Now, Rusev did that. He did a thing called Rusev Day, where basically he had another wrestler called Aiden English, who would come out singing Rusev Day, and it went over. The crowds loved it. They had these t-shirts, they were selling out. And but he wasn't getting given the push. The fact that he kind of grabbed that attention by himself, by literally just appealing to the fans, and yet he wasn't given the push to make him, I don't know, a champion or any kind of thing. It made no sense. Like, he even went to Vince saying that we're selling out on merchandise. Isn't that a good sign? Vince was like, we probably ran out. Probably didn't have enough merch. But still, that's saying something, that people are interested. Yeah, well, you know, it's just the way things go sometimes, right? What?
I feel like a lot of people in the position of Vince McMahon, there are those older heads that they're just blocks. They're not going to move with the times. Funny enough, I was having a similar conversation, not about wrestling, but about The Harder They Fall.
Mm.
I was talking about the fact that not every black or brown person or Latina person who gets behind the camera should have to be excellent.
Mm.
They should be able to just have fun, because, and also stretch out those muscles and learn. And I was talking about the fact that in the 90s, there's a lot of, I mean, you know, for good or for ill, there was a lot of stuff that came out where people got to stretch those muscles. They got to stretch their directorial talent for good or for ill and start to make a name. Because not everyone can do a Jordan Peele. Not everyone could do a Spielberg, where your first or second film just is like, bam, changes the game. Not everyone should have to be Jordan Peele either.
Mm-hmm.
But people will then have come heavy and hard and want a Jordan Peele, but then allow Michael Bay to keep working. Do you know what I mean? They'll allow cavalcades of shit to come out. There's no other word for it. Cavalcades of actual excreta coming out and being on there, but then no one else is allowed, and you have to come in really big. You just can't have fun. And then the game keeps changing. It's like it's more of the same when it comes to some people who are just entrenched in their ways and won't let others have a go and really go for it. And it's almost like basically what they're saying is that I'm going to cut you all off because ain't no goddamn way. And even worse, ain't no goddamn way, and this is just my theory, I could be wrong, ain't no goddamn way that WWE is going to do better on the Triple H than me, says Vince.
Well, you know what the thing is? I mean, another name, which, to be fair, I was shocked, but then I wasn't really shocked. Nia Jax.
That's
The Rock's cousin. So that was a brave move getting rid of her.
But she
has a record of injuring people she wrestled with, but overall, she's actually not that bad.
But to be fair, the way I hear it, I don't know if this is true. It might be a rumor, but I got a feeling. I don't know how true it is. But like, when it comes to people that are kind of associated with The Rock, apparently The Rock gets called first.
Oh wow.
And they talk, and they go, "Is this okay?" And he says, "Just no." But I don't know how true that is. I don't know how true it is. But I feel like The Rock is on that level. It's like,
I'd like it to be true.
I kind of want it to be true.
I want it to be true because they've been fucking over that family since 19, long time. So the fact that you now have a position where, you know, and let's not forget, for those who don't know, there was a time, and I remember this as well, when Vince would spit before he'd say Rock the Rock's name. Literally would not. And the fact that, because Dwayne learned and saw what happened to his granddad and his dad and had his screwed him over and stuff, so he set it up so The Rock is his. And because of that, Vince was gunning for him because he didn't own the rights to The Rock. And the way that he used that, and he made it his own and took that and to become to position the power. So now it's like, you can wear whatever you want. I do hope it's true. I honestly do hope it's true. because of how they done played the man dirty and his family dirty for years and years and years. So, hell yeah.
Who's the real head of the table here?
Mm-hmm. For real, who's the true tribal chief?
Mm-hmm. You have to do wonder. I mean, it's sad because right now, no one is not safe. No one is not happy in the WWE. You hear the stories about Charlotte Flair doesn't want to work with anyone and she's stuck up and wants to be put on a pedestal. To be fair, I think that's WWE just working them because of her.
Yeah, I think it's a mix of all work. Like, because what's happening right now, there was a thing that happened. There was an incident on I think it was Raw, where they were doing this thing where they're doing a ceremony where because champions were swapping shows, so they wanted to do a ceremony where the champions swapped the belts. Right. So what was supposed to happen was Becky Lynch, who was probably one of the most popular female wrestlers in the industry, was supposed to get both belts, and she's going to hold them up in front of the crowds, going, "Yeah, Becky, two belts," because she was the first female wrestler to get two belts and both world champions and bonus, and she was like known as Becky Two Belts.
But
because Charlotte thought this would make her be perceived as weak, instead of doing that, she basically threw the belt on the floor, and it was like what the and you could tell there was like what the fuck moment kind of thing, like what the hell are you doing? And then apparently there was an altercation behind like backstage afterwards, to a point where Charlotte was escorted off the property. So it's like, and then now they're kind of working it now, because they've got a match at Survivor Series, they're kind of working it like it's real, but it might not be real. It might be just, so. It's what they call a work. So basically, they're trying to work the fans and the crowds who are like listening, and saying that, yeah, well, you know, she used to be this kind of person because we used to be best friends, but we're not anymore because of blah 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 blah. So it's like you're like so you kind of like drawn to like, is this real or is this kind of a work shoot kind of thing?
They leaned into it, or
So it's kind of so it probably is kind of discourse between them, but they've kind of made it work for their benefit, so they can actually have. You know, so they can get more eyes on the product, really, to see if they actually will really fight, if that makes sense. Because it happened recently with Charlotte and Nia Jax before she got released. They got into, like, a proper... During the match, they got really into it.
That was not a wrestling match, because there is an element of coordination, as we all know. There was not one piece of coordination during that. I remember watching that thinking, why did you just box the woman so hard? She looked kind of stunned. And I thought...
Yeah, because like there was like because they were doing moves that, like, for example, like Charlotte would do a thing where she would get her in a headlock and just hold her there. So basically, Nia Jax would be carrying her weight, and if you're a wrestler or any kind of sports, you know, carrying someone's weight and that kind of thing is tiring and messes you up. So she was doing that a lot constantly. And there was a moment when Nia Jax picked her up and just threw her on her neck. You're like, what the. It got really bad between them, and then it kind of calmed down afterwards, and then it became a match. But yeah, it was. I think. Do you know what? Like, I've heard why this might have happened, but I don't know if it's confirmed or not. Sorry, that's just, we're probably going to say a bunch of names you have no idea who we're talking about, and I apologize for it. But
that's fine.
But there was previously Nia Jax was a tag team champion, was women's tag team champion with another wrestler called Shayna Baszler. They lost the belts to Nikki Cross and Rhea Ripley. So there was still kind of like a feud and brewing right there, and there. Mm-hmm. But during like an altercation where she was supposed to like interrupt and attack from behind, blah blah blah. Apparently, the way I heard it, I could be wrong, but that's just where I've heard it. When she hit Rhea Ripley, she hit her like flush really hard.
Oh God.
To the point she was like, what the hell just happened there, kind of thing. And it was kind of like, everyone was like, dude, what is wrong with you? You need to calm yourself down, because it's happened before multiple times, because she can be quite unsafe when she's with other wrestlers. And so when it came to like Charlotte and and Nia's match, this was kind of like a ribbon or kind of like a punishment kind of thing to like,
right,
dude, you need to calm yourself down. This is what's going to happen to you if you don't calm yourself down kind of thing.
Yeah.
So that's where I hear it, but I could be wrong. I could be making this up. I could be chatting at my butt, but this is the way I hear it. These aren't facts. I'm saying for a fact, people. Just these aren't facts. That's a fact.
That's a fact.
But yeah, I mean, unfortunately, WWE, there's, to be fair, there's some names which I would cut. And if I'm thinking that clear, they must be next. Because a prime example, and this is no disrespect, right? But if you take away the 24/7 title, the likes of R-Truth, and what's his, that other one? The butler, the
Samoan. Reginald, whatever.
What's he going to do? Yeah.
Okay, well, R-Truth is never going to go.
Yeah, that's Vince's
because,
point.
Yeah, Vince loves him. Vince loves R-Truth. So that's never going to happen. So that's the one black man he knows he's going to use. Okay. But yeah, the 24/7 thing is just stupid. Like, it's just, there's no point to it now. Just get rid of it.
Yeah, there's, to be fair, some drastic changes need to be done in the WWE. And the ironic thing is, I saw a video of they're building another new building.
Yeah.
In Connecticut. And that's why I thought, I went, oh, so you can willingly cut people's jobs, but yet you've got money to build a new building.
Well, to be fair, they've got extra money now, so they're probably making an even better building. Yeah, they've got an even better building. But they can throw some money.
Unless another Dark Side from the ring comes out and scuppers that plan.
The ironic thing is, on a side note, you hear Flair's now called out, Ric Flair's called out WWE for saying that they ruined his legacy because they've ruined him completely.
No, you ruined your legacy by helicoptering your dick at a person.
Okay, for those of you who don't know, because I always aim to, we always aim to want to invite people in and refer you to stuff. There's a series called Dark Side of the Ring, which goes into a lot of detail about stuff you either didn't know, may have heard about, been referenced, but just the other side of it's in the title, guys. Dark Side of the Ring. There's an episode I won't watch. There's actually two I won't watch. I won't watch the Chris Benoit episode. One because it's actually covered a lot. I was surprised how much Chris Benoit comes up in True Crime. It's quite a lot. I won't watch the Jake Snake Roberts episode.
Oh, Lord. Yeah.
That is a trigger. And anyone who wants to, straight up, if you want to watch it, just know you're going to hear a lot of sexual abuse in that.
Yeah.
So proceed with bloody caution. I had always heard, and, you know, for those of you who know, I kind of skirt on the outside, so wrestling up, you know, back and forth with it. The boys have been, you know, exceptional in, you know, having some good fun nights with watching stuff and really enjoying it. And then I heard about the Dark Side of the Ring, the plane ride from hell. Now, I'd heard about the plane ride from hell. It's been mentioned a couple of times with different people over the years. And this episode came out and I watched it and asked the boys. I was literally messaging them every 2 minutes as I had to stop myself because I couldn't believe what the hell I was watching. The plane ride from hell is actually, if somebody wrote that, you'd say, oh, that's bullshit, right? Like, if that was like a Hangover movie, you'd be like, oh, come on, that'll happen for real. When you have to say that a set of wrestlers cutting off a man's hair is the least worst thing that happens on a flight, you know you're in for a treat. So those who haven't watched it, I beg you, please watch the plane ride from hell episode, because the fallout from that is a lot between people have lost their jobs over after that episode. Didn't Ric Flair get
cancelled?
You cancelled essentially. Yeah. He ain't cancelled. He's still around. He's still trying to make money. He literally is on Cameo charging you £300 to get something off him. So
let's say what?
For
that, can do that for free,
mate. Literally, I think if you go onto Cameo, you can see that Ric Flair will want $300 to do a message or something. So yeah, but those who haven't seen it, please, I beg you, what's it on now? Season 4?
Last time I remember, I think this was the third season.
Sorry, three. Please check it out. But like I said, some of the episodes get dark. They are real dark. And also, if you really want to find out why Bret Hart is so pissed off, you can watch the Montreal Screwjob episode.
I'll leave the angry man alone.
It's a really good episode. And the joy of that is the fact that Vince got bitch slapped, which is always a pleasure to hear about.
He got knocked the fuck out.
The uppercut from hell. That's what he got.
He literally got a Red from Friday uppercut. Goddamn knockout. So for those who haven't, please check out Dark Side of the Ring.
Do you know, I've got a theory about how, like, why Bret Hart is so miserable. And it's, obviously, it's like
Shawn Michaels?
not even just Shawn Michaels. It's because, you know what it is?
What is it?
Okay, this is my theory. It's because he's been betrayed. What?
No, I thought you said because he sucks. I went, yeah, I agree.
Wow.
What the hell? Jesus Christ, man.
But Bret Hart sucks, man. I've always said that. He's useless.
He's not useless. He's one of the best wrestlers. Oh, God, I'm not even having this argument. Okay. Can I do my theory, please?
Okay, can I hear your theory, please, bro?
Jesus Christ. All right. So, Bret Hart.
Jesus Christ. Sorry.
All right, I'm done.
No!
Never mind. It's okay. It's fine. It's okay.
Go ahead.
Yeah. Okay, what's the theory? Your theory is?
I said I'm done, so I'm not doing it now. It's good.
Oh, I want to know the theory.
All right, fine. Fucking hell. Okay. No more interruptions.
No interruptions.
You got it.
All right. So Bret Hart loves wrestling. That was his bread and butter for most of his life. But I feel like he's actually accepted the fact that he feels that wrestling betrayed him, if that makes sense. Because at the end of the day, he got really put out of place when the wrestling dynamic changed. When he was the face, they were booing the heel that was Stone Cold. They were cheering the heel that was Stone Cold Steve Austin, because he was a new breed of heel. He was that anti-hero, and it made no sense to him. Then when he went to stay in the company that he loved, he was forced out because they didn't want to pay him what he was asking for, so he was forced to leave it. But because he wasn't allowed to leave the way he was, they stole the thing he loved the most, the championship. And then he moved to another company which treated him like shit, that took his career away from him with one severe kick to the head, and it also took away his brother.
But you know, on that point, which you do raise a really good, interesting point. But I feel like maybe I'm being wrong and I'm fair, but I feel like I have never heard Bret Hart be as upset about Owen than I have about him in the Montreal Screwjob. Which I find disconcerting, to say the goddamn least. I used to be a Heart Foundation person. Bruv will tell you, I used to be a proper
she
Heart
loved,
Foundation.
Oh my god.
Like,
she fancied the fuck out of
Bruv.
She fancied the
hell out of
Bruv.
Oh my god. And then he just became something. And then, like, I didn't even, like, with the Owen Hart thing, like, on the real, if something happens to y'all, I'm going to be like, I don't know how I'd function and get through.
But to be honest,
if I saw Thomas the Tank Engine, you just have to be like, I just need some 5 minutes.
But to be fair, sis. But how comfortable? Let's say, for example, I died. For example, how comfortable on a regular would you like to be talking about that?
Never.
Exactly. Let's be honest.
Also, just be like, because literally, it's like the Montreal Screwjob.
Yeah, but like, no offense, look, but like,
Owen Hart, yeah, you know,
yeah,
brother.
I don't agree on that because to be fair,
I hear you, but to be fair, I
can't think of an interview where I've seen him talk about Owen, and I think that's by choice.
To be fair, you're spot on. I've never seen him, but then again,
you said he was nice when you met him.
Oh, he's lovely. He's again, I think I told the story before, but like, Bret Hart, when I was still working at Forbidden Planet, Bret Hart did a sign-in. He was gracious, shook my hand, took a picture with me. I think I still got the picture somewhere. And like the publicists that he was working with were a bit dickish, because he was willing to sign anything the fans put in front of him, but the publicists would not let him do that. He was only allowed to sign the books. Like a kid had like a proper replica of the Eagles belt, the big old school Eagles belt, and he was going to sign it, but the publicists wouldn't let him do it. And I was like, that's just bull crap. And by the time the signing ended, there was still stock for him to sign, and publicists said, oh, we arranged for him to come back. They didn't arrange for him to come back. But Bret Hart came on his own. He went, hi, I'm just here to sign the rest of the books. All he asked for was for travel back to his hotel. So we paid for his cab back to the hotel. So again, legend. He came he did it on his own. He didn't have to come back, but he did.
And that's mad props for that.
Huh?
I give him mad props for that. Yeah, that's legend.
Yeah. So I always have love for Bret Hart,
but
I just I feel like I don't think he's willing to accept that. He is angry.
I think
you've
got a point, you know. Yeah. I think also because of the whole thing with the legacy of his family and, you know, the wrestling arena. I think the Montreal Screwjob is a handy place to hang your hat. Mm. You're right. So you don't have to blame and say, no, this whole thing was corrupt and you were screwed and they threw you out like rubbish. Mm. And I think for him to admit that is like, yeah, but my family, because they're so in it, you know, they're like the stuff of legend. That their training ring is like infamous and known about. And I think he doesn't. You're right. I think he. See, my mind's blown by that, bro. It is a bit like, yeah, like I don't. I think it is handy to go, yeah, the Montreal Screwjob and I was betrayed. But it's like, no, they just betrayed you. And you're right. I think also it's a thing of getting older and seeing the things have changed beyond recognition. And we hear that with some of the commentators. Mm. You know that guy I hate, Jim, what's his
Jim
goddamn
Cornette,
face?
Jim Cornette. Jim Cornette. Lovely guy. He's a great guy.
Jesus Christ. Oh,
what,
my God.
What a legend. I love him. He's great.
Oh, God. Like, Jesus Christ. Like, Jim Cornette is like, you remember the good old days? Like, shut up. It's not the good old days. And they weren't good. Jeez, like, literally every week I see some kind of like expose come out and I'm like, these were your good old days, Cornette? What are you talking about? Just stop talking, please.
And just for the record, Bret the Hitman Hart was one of the greatest wrestlers of all time. Big man's wrong.
Well,
on that note, I think we usually say it's time for a wrap because.
Rotted.
See that? He's running away from the truth. He's running away from the truth. Boom.
Hitman's like, oh, that though, I'm editing. Bro, no.
As a wise man once said, if you put the letter S in front of Hitman, you had my exact opinion of Bret Hart. That's all I'm going to say.
You're not a wise man, you're a dickhead. That's the name for the record.
And I love my bro.
Right, okay. On that bombshell. I'm a cool time. I think we're gonna have to do another episode. We talk about the technical abilities of who actually is the greatest wrestlers of all time, on technical ability, etc. But we're not gonna do that right now because Big Man's already said about what?
Kurt Hennig, Mr. Perfect, is he? Answer your question.
Mr. Perfect. That's true. Technical. Anyway, though, we're not going to do that right now. See, it's stretching. You're like, well, actually, we can talk about it. No, we're not going to do that now. What we're going to do is say thank you all for listening to this episode of And That's Why We Messed Up. Please, we enjoy and appreciate the feedback that you give. If you'd like to contact us directly, you can email us at stjudeavengers@gmail.com. You can also get in contact via Instagram at messeduppod. You can also hit us up on Twitter and Messed. Instant Classic, bruv, what's your socials?
You can find me on YouTube under Instant Classic Gaming. You can find me also on Twitch, Instagram, and TikTok under Instant_Classic_Gaming.
Big man, what's your socials? Big
man, I can be found on the Instagram underneath the name Mr_Roberts_V1 and also on Twitter at War3782.
Thank you very much. Thank you for giving us your time. Stay safe out there, and we look forward to speaking to you soon. Take care. Later.
Later. Best there is, best there was, and the best there ever will be. Done. And that's why we're messed up. Produced by the St. Jude's Avengers, edited by Instant Classic Gaming, and music produced by Box Room Music.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.